time on earth, when in the book of heaven, an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, so I went unto the keeper and I settled it long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
Johnny Cash tune. Did you know that? Welcome to Wiley Methodist Church. Glad that you are with us this morning, and we're going to continue worshiping, and we're going to also worship with our tithes and offerings. The plates are up front, and we welcome our live stream audience, and you can give online as well. So as we continue to worship, let me pray for our offering. Father, you are our Savior. You are our friend. Father, humble us that you are mindful of us. May you send your Spirit to this place, inhabit this place, inhabit us. Father, we pray that your name would be high and lifted up. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
I was thinking of something when we were singing that song. I want to do the first slide again, please, Lee. The first slide again. First verse. I was thinking of something. I've watched videos. Terry, could you give me a pad, please? I've watched videos where little kids, I mean, 1 year old, they don't know anything. 5 years, 5 months, they haven't been told anything, how to act or anything. They'll hear good music and then they're moving. And no one showed them how to dance. They just do. And so I think about that, and I think of myself as a grown person now, and when I'm somewhere and I hear good music and I'm just standing there, and I think, what happened? It has something to do with growing up and losing that innocence and becoming self-aware. I know who's looking at me. Who's looking at me having a good time? Right? But I think if you want to move a little bit in the house of God, it's okay. David danced. So, wives, if your husband starts dancing crazy, don't get on him. Don't go home and go, oh my goodness, you look ridiculous. One more time at the top. Are y'all ready for children's church? Come on down. Where's the theme song? Jesus loves a little child. There we go.
Well, I'm excited to be here with you today because a few weeks ago, I had two friends call me. They shared that they had written a song just for kids at our church and about children's church. And they wanted to share it with you. Isn't it exciting when someone writes just a song, an amazing song for y'all? What do y'all think about that? Is that pretty cool? Yeah, so they have sent me a live feed. We're going to watch it here in just a second. And it's a song that they have written because they have seen our children's church, all right, and our message every Sunday. And they just wanted to be a part of it. So we're going to start the video. And can everybody see? Can y'all get to a place that you can see the big screen TVs? Okay, y'all turn around, okay? All right, so y'all ready to watch this video? It's going to be fun. Okay.
Hello, kids! Hello, kids, look up here
on
the big TV screen.
Please work.
Hello!
Oh, no.
Hello, kids! How are you doing today? Kids, my name is Duke.
Hang on.
I am Susan Baton. And we are Hot English Tea. We're back from England in the UK. Anyone know where that is? I didn't think so. It's way somewhere. Anyway, one day I was watching the YouTube channels, and Wiley Methodist Church showed up, and it was all your children, and it touched me dearly. So I'll play the song strictly for you, and it goes like this.
Yeah. Ooh, you're shredding, Steve. You're shredding that guitar so good. First
That's
time I've ever
funny.
Seen this song. Never seen it before. Here we go. Everyone ready?
They shared an important message with us in that song that they wrote just for us. Did you know that? They shared that when we come to church and that we learn about God and we learn about Jesus, right? And we learn that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life for each one of us in everything that we do. Have you ever thought about that? That Jesus is in everything, whatever we do, wherever we go. And we learn about Jesus and God. Do we learn about them at church? Do we learn other places about Jesus and God? Maybe at home? Yeah. But is Jesus with you wherever you go?
Yes,
he is. So we can know that he is with us and he is the way, the truth, and the life. So coming to church and reading your Bibles and hearing Bible stories and praying help us learn and know more about God's amazing love for us. So here's the question. Does Children's Church rock? Yes. So, okay. So I want y'all to say it with me really loud. Children's Church rocks. Okay. You ready? Children's Church rocks. One more time. Children's Church rocks. All right. Let's say a prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for your love for us and I thank you that you are with us. And I thank you that as we come to church that we can learn and know about you so that when we go out into this world that we can be a light for you, Lord, because you are with us through everything. You are the way, the truth, and the life for each one of us. Thank you for your love in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go.
Hot English Tea. My goodness. By the way, their albums and merchandise will be out in the foyer after the service if you want to cash in on some of that. Well, God bless you as you joined us to worship this morning in person or in your homes. We are glad that you've tuned in with us. If you're in your homes, you can go ahead and register your attendance at some point this morning if you'd like to do that. Our trunk or treat is next Saturday, and we still need a couple of vehicles to be used as candy distribution points, so you can sign up for that or talk to Carlene. And we may be a couple of helpers short with that as well. And you can continue to go ahead and pack your shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child through November 16th. And the collection week is November 16th through the 23rd. And Gary and Joyce Gamotes are ramrodding that effort. And so they'll need some volunteers to help them with that. So there'll be opportunities to sign up for that between now and then. And then our Operation Christmas trip to the processing center is December 12th. Naomi Woods putting that together. So if you'd like to make that trip, then you can contact her as well. So let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, in the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. If you read Jeff's email Friday or got the app notification yesterday, today is a day of prayer and fasting that was called for by Franklin Graham, our good brother. And it's a day of prayer for the election, and that's going to be our prayer focus this morning. I don't have to explain to you significance of this election. I think we all know. So I want to pray into that this morning, and I've got some prayer points I want to work through. If you feel led to come to the altar as we pray, feel free to do that. Just give each other some distance, and if the altar fills up, you can either stand or take a seat on one of the front rows. So if you want to come to the altar, do so now, and we'll pray. Let's just get before the Lord, whatever that looks like for you. Just connect with him. And that may mean forgetting what you have to do this afternoon, what's going on in your life at this moment. Just connect with him as we pray. And feel the freedom to pray as I pray as well. Oh, Father, we love you, God. You are awesome. Father, you have allowed a nation to prosper for so many years. It's almost like a city on a hill, God. You blessed the United States of America so deeply. And, Father, you know full well the chaos that our nation's in. And Father, this election is incredibly significant. God, you established government. It was your idea. And your word says in Romans 13 that you did that to bring about your purposes. And so, Father, I pray that this election glorify you, that it brings about your purpose. Lord, I pray that it brings righteousness to our nation. Lord, righteousness exalts a nation, not chaos, not confusion, but righteousness. And Father, for those of us who have not voted, God, would you search our hearts deeply, God, before we step into that voting booth. God, may we seek you deeply as we do that. Lord, help us to have your desires in mind as we cast our vote, not our desires. And Lord, help us to look past candidates, their personalities, the things we like, the things we dislike. God, help us to focus on the issues that are so deeply important that they embrace. Issues of life and marriage and human sexuality, God, just touch our hearts. Lord, and I pray that this process is a fair process. Lord, I pray against corruption. I pray against foreign interference, God. I just pray against someone that would try to disrupt this process. And Lord, I pray against the enemy who's right now scheming and devising plans to cause chaos during this election. Oh, Lord, would you move supernaturally and shut that down for your glory? And Father, whatever the outcome, Lord, help us to be gracious people. Father, we just want to see you honored and glorified. And Lord, I pray against post-election drama and chaos and destruction and looting. Father, we just need you to move supernaturally. I know you have a desire. And Lord, we pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we pray for revival in our nation. Pray against the destruction of the virus in our nation, Lord. And I speak life over our nation, not death. There's so much talk about death, Lord. I speak life over our nation instead of death. Move in power for your glory. Lord, as we continue to worship you, Father, help us to realize you're the only one worthy of our worship. And as Jeff preaches about our identity, I pray that that resonates deeply with us this day. Oh, God, we praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. We adore you. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Morning, I was reading, drinking my coffee, and I was thinking about the songs that were chosen for today, and these next three songs we're going to do in my own heart. I was just thinking about in the Last Supper between Jesus and the disciples, and how they were all, you know, sitting down, and I'm sure there was anxiousness on them. Jesus was showing them love. I think in their mind they were really cherishing that moment. John was leaning against Jesus. And so today, this morning, it's with that atmosphere I would like to do these last three songs. So however you want to connect with God right now is okay. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to sit down. And if you want to lay down, that's okay. It doesn't matter. You can lean against a loved one. That's okay, too.
Thank you.
when their faith shall be such, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
So in the midst of all the junk that's going on, is it well with your soul?
Amen.
Why is it well with our soul? So we have Christ, yes? Well, again, welcome to our worship service today. Welcome to our live stream audience, those that are still at home, and we pray blessings on you. Blessings on you this morning that are here with us. If you are a guest this morning, we are really glad that you're here. I hope you feel loved by Christ and his people. Hope you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. As Billy mentioned, there is a registration place on our app. We would love for our members and our guests to register. Let us know you were here. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer out here, and would love to meet you as our guest. I have a gift for you as well. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. I love reading Peter because we know this Peter's story. He gives me hope. As Peter, as I've said, Peter was a knucklehead just like me. And yet he found himself to be a very significant leader in the early church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This passage is, he's talking about you. You, church, are a chosen people. Can I say that again? Is that all right? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And I'm going to stop there for just a second. That's why it's well with our soul. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So you see, we're chosen with a purpose. We're chosen with a purpose. What's the purpose? To declare the praises of him who saved us. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we sense that you are already here. You were probably here waiting on us. You also reside in us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak powerfully and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have watched at least some of the Toy Story movies? It's a kid's movie, but a lot of the story and the humor seems to be pointed towards adults. I have not watched all of this particular Toy Story 4, but there's a scene in the fourth movie that has a character named Bonnie, a little girl, a little kindergarten girl, and she goes, I believe it's her first day at kindergarten, and Woody, the little toy cowboy who's been in all of the movies, he's kind of along for the ride in her backpack, and he sees another little kid. Bonnie's sitting there, and she has all of her little crafty things in front of her, and she turns her head for just a moment, and someone throws away all of her little craft supplies. And Woody, feeling sorry for her, goes while she's not looking and retrieves some of the items out of the trash and places them back in front of her. She comes and she sits back down and she sees these items. Her face brightens up. You'd think that she would be crying because she's lost all of this stuff, but her face brightens up and she gets this idea. She begins to create this new character, new toy for herself. She takes a plastic fork and she takes some, I think they're pipe cleaners. That's what I call them, the little things that you can twist. And she twists around the little plastic fork and makes arms. And she has these two little, the little eyes that kind of have the, you know, that can move. And she glues the eyes on. She has some popsicle sticks, I believe, and makes feet. And she creates this new toy. And they call this little new toy Forky. Now she writes. This is significant. She writes on the bottom of Forky, Bonnie. Bonnie. Now, you see, and then as the movie goes on, Forky is struggling with his identity. He's thinking that I'm just junk. I'm just junk that was pulled out of the trash can, and then this little girl just kind of glued me together. I'm not a bought toy. I'm not a fancy toy with all these whistles and bells and buttons and sirens and all these different things. No, I'm just junk. But through the movie, Woody's able to convince Forky, look at the bottom of your feet. You belong to Bonnie. She has called you by name. She has called you her very own. Today, we're going to continue the series, sermon series, Identity. Identity. You are accepted by Christ, in Christ. You are accepted in Christ. That's today's message. You know, this is important. I believe this series is important because I believe many people, I was visiting with someone very recently who is struggling feeling that they have any worth. And there's people that I've talked to that feel that so deeply that they're even entertaining thoughts of suicide. So, I mean, this is a significant topic for us to be talking about, who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. It's not, our identity is not found in what others say of us or think of us. It's not even found in what we think about of ourselves. It's found in who Christ says we are and how he has proven that. So we're going to jump right in here. I've got some items I want us to just talk about who we are in Christ. In Christ, number one, in Christ, you are. Now that's important the in Christ part. I talked about this last week. If we're outside of Christ, we don't have these things. We don't have the hope that we're going to be talking about. But in Christ, you are chosen by God and you are his child. I don't think I'm supposed to say the word hate, but I think in this case I can. I hate it when, as a child, and I see it sometimes on TV shows and stuff where you're picking teams. Does that just fly over anybody else, how you pick teams as a child? It's like normally you get the two biggest, strongest, fastest kids, and they're the captains. And then you got all these other kids sitting out there in a group. Go ahead. I actually found a little photo. Yeah. They're picking teams. And you go through one by one, and, you know, little Johnny picks, I'll take Steve, and Billy, not our Billy, it was another one. Billy says, I want Carl on my team. And so they begin to pick these teams, and one by one, the crowd gets smaller until you get down to those last two kids. Man, I don't know. That just flies all over me. I'm like, find another way to pick teams. That's not the way. I think about those two little kids that are at the end of the line, and then out of those two, you got one of the team captains. He's like, okay, we'll take him or her. And then you got one. How many of you ever felt like that last kid picked? I mean, you know, maybe some of us have been that. I was fortunate. I was always tall. I don't know why. That didn't mean really diddly, but everybody, you know, he's a big kid. Yeah, we'll take Jeff. You know, I don't remember that those instances where I was the last kid picked because I was just a big kid. But I can just imagine being that last person selected, what the damage that I think that can do for a lifetime, the damage that can do to someone. But in the economy of Christ, it's a whole different ball game. If you feel like today that last kid chosen, you're a chosen people. You're a chosen person. God, and I've used this analogy before, but it just resonates with me. God's walking through the orphanage. We're all orphans. And he's walking through the orphanage, and he comes to you, and he says, on a whole different way, I choose her. That's my child right there. I choose her. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We're his. Because he's written his name on the bottom of our souls. Yet to all receive him, there it is again, and we have to be in Christ. To all receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, I've told people that God is he's a gentleman. He's not going to, you know, Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. I'm not going to hurt myself, I promise. He doesn't kick in the door. That was impressive, right? We got Ben Gay at home, right, Cheryl? He doesn't kick in the door. He stands at the door and knocks. And he says, if you'll open the door and let me in, I'll come in and I'll have fellowship with you. We'll dine together. We'll be family. To all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If we're his child, what does it make God to us? He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And so, and I know some of us maybe grew up with great earthly fathers, and some of us maybe not so much. We have a Heavenly Father that has chosen us. I choose him. We're chosen by God and we're his child. In Christ, number two, you are forgiven redeemed, and justified. And we're going to unpack those words a little bit better. You are forgiven, redeemed, and justified. Ephesians 1 says it this way. In him, in Christ, we have redemption because we're really, really good people. Is this on? That's not what it says? Oh, I'm sorry. In him, we have redemption through his blood. It's not what we've done, it's what he's done. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. 1 Peter, this word redeemed in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your fathers. He's talking about sin. He's talking about being cursed by the law. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So, once again, we are forgiven and we are redeemed not by our own good deeds, but by Christ's good deed, by his blood, by his sacrifice. I think about a gift card. We all have gotten gift cards or bought gift cards. And I think about, you know, we acquire this gift card and it's many of them are worthless until you activate them, right? And a lot of times you have to scratch off a little thing and get a number and you call a phone number and you activate the card. And then you go to the store and you redeem the card. You purchase something with this card. We have not been purchased with things such as silver or gold, but we were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us from our forefathers with the precious blood of Christ. Man, you talk about an awesome gift card. That's an awesome gift card right there, church. Justified, this word justified, Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through our good works, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blood of Christ. We have peace. Because we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. It's not like something we hope for and we dream about. It's like someday I'll be in right standing before God. No, through grace, through faith in Christ, we have been justified, and now we are in right standing before God. This word justify, you know, you ever heard of a legal term that comes to my mind is justifiable homicide. You ever heard that? It's like someone goes to trial and someone was killed and the jury comes back with a verdict or a judge comes back and says it was justifiable. You know, what happened, what took place, it was justifiable. So in other words, we're found innocent. So for us to be found innocent before God through faith in Jesus Christ, that's justified, just as if we've never sinned. So when God looks at us, he sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and he sees us justified before him, and he sees us as he sees Christ. If you struggle with your self-esteem, with your identity, you need to understand that through faith in Christ, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see our flesh. He doesn't see the sins that we still struggle with. He doesn't see any of our brokenness. No, he sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And I'll tell you, if you are struggling that nobody cares, nobody knows what I've done, this and that, through faith in Christ, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. If you're receiving that. And then finally, not only are we chosen by God and his child, not only are we forgiven and redeemed and justified, but this is probably even as more as important as any of it. In Christ, you are loved. In Christ, you are loved. You know, I've had people that have struggled with that. They don't have said things like, I don't know if God loves me. I'm not sure God loves me. And I know that they're believers, and my response is, well, it's a done deal. It's been proven. He doesn't have to prove it anymore. It was just look to the cross. See what transpired at the cross, and you'll know that you are loved because he went to the cross for each one of us. Greater love in John 15 has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, and that's the words of Christ. In 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. You want to know what love is? It's not what our culture's telling us. It's not. Our culture's all confused about what love is. This is how we know as Christians, as believers, what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You want to know if you're loved? Look to the cross. Look to Jesus. There is, Cheryl and I both, we do a lot of counseling with marriages, pre-marriage counseling and post-marriage counseling. And there's one of the things that we talk about a lot with couples is this, there was a book called The Five Love Languages. Many of you maybe have read that or familiar with it. It's written by a marriage counselor. Gary Chapman was his name, and he had 30 years or so experience with marriage counseling, and he came to the realization through those 30 years that there's really five different ways that we receive and communicate love to one another, not just in marriage, but even with any relationships that we have. And they are words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, physical touch, and gifts. That those, if we are going to give or receive love, it's going to fall into one of those categories. Now, those are typically important for all of us, but there's usually one or two that kind of float to the top that's more significant for us. And the light bulb kind of went off when Cheryl and I originally studied that, his book. I was thinking about, does that relate to God? I mean, is that do those same love languages seem to fit with our relationship with God? And I came to the conclusion, yes, it does. You think about words of affirmation. I mean, is there any more affirming words than we find in here? The problem is, and I'm going to step on a few toes here now. The problem is we don't read it. We don't read it. We don't know the Bible. And I'm talking about Christians in general. Basically, we are biblically illiterate in the church, in the global church. We just don't read what it says. But God affirms us through his word with words of affirmation through the Bible. Quality time. Just God, I mean, one of the things about prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is just kind of, sometimes it's listening to God. It's just being with God. Find a quiet place. Some people want to have some music that stirs their heart. Some want just total quiet. Some like to do it outdoors. But just to have a time where you just sit and be with God through prayer and through his Holy Spirit. That is quality time. Acts of service. Christ's continuing acts of kindness toward us. I don't remember the exact reference, but it's in Romans where it says, it's the kindness of the Lord that draws us to repentance. And so many people, and this mistake is made in the church and has been probably for centuries, that they see God, and many times this has been communicated through the church, they see God as this God, this angry God that's ready to zap us when we're bad. And I'm just telling you, that doesn't change anybody's heart. It may make you scared to death. When it speaks of fearing God, that's not the kind of fear that God's word is talking about. It's for me, I don't know about you, but for me, it was the kindness of the Lord that drew me to him. It was the kindness of the Lord that changed my life. When I realized that I was a wretched man, as Paul states in Romans, I was a wretched man. What hope do I have? And I felt like the Holy Spirit just communicated to me. It was a tough conversation, but I felt like the Holy Spirit said, yeah, Hatcher, you are a wretched man, but I love you, and I died for you. It was that moment changed everything for me. It was no longer this, Christianity was no longer about being good, going to church, you know, checking off boxes. It was no longer about any of those things. It was about this God who sent his son because he loved me. He loved me enough to go to the cross and die for me and save me, redeem me. Man, that's an act of service right there. Physical touch. Did you know that God has given us the privilege to be a part of his ministry? Did you know that? I say this a lot to our ministry staff. It's like we are privileged to what we do is try to convey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a privilege. And it's not just for people, you know, that are paid to be good. Y'all know I won't say the rest of it. It's not just for paid staff. It is for all who have been chosen, all of God's chosen people, we have the opportunity to love on his behalf. And so I look around the room and I see so many of you that do that so well. You do that so well. But we are able to be Jesus with skin on. Did you know that? We so many times, just to be able to, taking a meal to someone, praying for someone, giving a hug. Many times when people have gone through loss, through tragedy, through grief, we want to fix it. And you know what the best thing you can do? Just give them a big old hug and tell them you love them. I love you. That's physical touch, the body of Christ. And then gifts, the gift. If there's ever been a gift that was the greatest gift of all, it is the gift of Jesus. Romans 5:8, and I know our group Sunday school class has been studying Romans, so many of you have probably walked through this book recently. God demonstrates. He doesn't just tell you, he doesn't talk a good game. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for only the good ones, because Scripture tells us we're all not good. None of us are good. We're all fallen. We're all infected by this condition of sin when we come into this world. Actually, before that, when we were conceived, we're conceived into this condition. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that proves our liturgy that we use on communion says that proves God's love toward us. God demonstrates his love through Jesus. If you just pray with me. Father, we thank you that we are accepted in Christ. We are chosen by God. We're your child. We're forgiven, redeemed, justified. We're loved. Help us, Holy Spirit, help us to receive that. And Holy Spirit, help us to share that. What's so amazing, God, is that you didn't just do it for us. You did it for the whole world. You took those nails for the whole world. And you've chosen us so that we can declare the praises of Jesus. Let us be that kind of people. Show us and teach us who we are, our identity in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would stand, if you're able, as we close this morning. The altar rail's open. At the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer. Would love to greet our guests and get to know you. If Jesus Christ, if you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, you don't know him. He knows you. I invite you to make that decision today. He stands at the door and he knocks. He's waiting for you to come and answer the door. Come and see me and let's talk about it.
Seen the goodness of God.
Chosen people. You say chosen? You are a royal priesthood. Say priesthood. You are a holy nation. Say holy. You are a people belonging to God so that you can declare his praises. That's who you are. I go tell someone, share it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.